And a couple of times in the series, I've spoken about the discipline of prayer, having a disciplined prayer life. And when we look at the great men and women of God in church history, we see that they tended to have great prayer lives. I've read of Martin Luther, the reformer. Apparently, if he knew that he had a particularly busy or tough day up ahead, he would wake up 2 or 3 hours earlier than normal to pray, to get through the day with God's grace. And for me, that's inspiring, but it's also pretty daunting. And I just think, well, I must be a really second-rate Christian, because I don't pray for hours every day. I do pray every day, but not for hours. So maybe if you're one of those Christians who prays for hours every day, then this message isn't for you, and you can zone off or go home and have a swim in a bra, because you're up there. But for the rest of us mere mortals, this is a challenging thing, to spend time in prayer. And life is particularly busy and full and crazy in this day and age. So where do you find time to pray? At least a long time. I think you could describe this day and age as being on the go. We live on the go. I've seen a type of breakfast called Fusion, which has got on the go on it. And it's one of these sort of yogurt muesli things mixed, and you can just throw it back on the go. That's how people live today. You can do your banking on the go. You can do your social media on the go. You can check the weather or the news on the go. And you can even text message people and communicate on the go, thanks to modern technology. Unfortunately, some people get this a little bit wrong, texting whilst driving. Not us Christians, but you know, you see those other people driving and texting at the same time. And when you do that, it can go horribly wrong. I don't know if you've ever had that, if you've texted a message or received a message that has gone horribly wrong, because these smartphones have these things called predictive text, or I think it's autocorrect on an iPhone. And sometimes you don't realize, and it taps the wrong word, and the message can come out very different from what you had intended. So just to illustrate how life on the go can go wrong, I came across some of these text messages where they got it wrong. This is just for laughs. I thought we could do with a good laugh today. So this first one is Alison. She says, "Are you doing the Nutcracker this year?" So the other person replies, "Yep, I'm auctioning kids tomorrow." "Suctioning kids." "Ridiculous autocad rectal birdseed." "I'm auditioning kids for play." Other person, "Wow, I'm sorry I asked." So she meant to say auditioning kids, not auctioning kids. Next one, Mama. "Are you sore? Do ducks have jackets? Did muck save maggots? Ugh, does husk make gaggles? Never mind. What? What? I just, what?" That one went seriously wrong. "Great news." This is from Mom. Can you imagine this? "Great news. Grandma is homosexual." "Okay. Homo hot lips. Hot tulips. I'm getting fisted now. Frustrated. Grandma is home from hospital. Ha ha ha. Homo hot lips." Another one. "Are you coming to my New Year's party?" "Of course, I'll be there." "Okay, cool, because I'm going to kill you at midnight." "Okay, on second thought, maybe I won't go. Ha ha, I mean I'm going to kiss you at midnight." "Hello? Sorry." Another one. I'm going to get a sandwich, okay? "The whole office is complaining because I have tuna in my underwear." I can't exactly say I blame them. I mean, tuna in my Tupperware. That's quite a bad autocorrect. Next one. Maybe Alistair can relate to this one. So what else is new? What else is new, man? I start my new job with the police force on Thursday. Just picked up my new unicorn. You get your own unicorn? Wow, best job ever. I wouldn't even be pissed if a cop pulled me over on a unicorn. Laugh out loud. You would be when you saw the fine on the ticket. Obviously meant to be a uniform. Last two. D, I caught some squirts. That's nice, I guess. Yeah, you want one? No thanks, you can keep them. You sure? They're flying ones. Lane, flying squirts. Why would I want that? Squirrels. Oh, I thought you were sick or something. And lastly, you know, the Bible says that a tearful heart is good medicine. Good to laugh sometimes. Last one, by Kim, but I don't think it's our Kim. Get anything good at Walmart? Yeah, I picked up gonorrhea with the wind for $5. Oops. I hear they make a cream for that. Laugh out loud. Stupid autocorrect. You know what I mean? boy. So sometimes texting on the go and laugh on the go can get us in a spot of trouble. And it can be difficult to pray when we have this rushed life on the go. But you know what? If you, like me, find it difficult to find hours to pray to God, you can still connect with God and pray to God in a meaningful way with short prayers through the day. That's what I'm going to be talking about today. Short prayers on the go. And when you do that, you just invite God into your life, into your day, and you get a sense of His heart, His thoughts, His words, His attitude in your moments. And that can help you to have a peace and be calm. And so the title of this morning's message is Keep Calm and Pray. Praying on the go. And we find a great biblical example of this in the life of Nehemiah, in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was an Old Testament man of God, and he lived in the time that Israel was in captivity in Babylon. Around about 450 BC, the Israelites, the Jews, had already been allowed to go back to the land of Israel or Judah. They had rebuilt the temple of Jerusalem, but some of them were still living in Babylon. Nehemiah was in the Persian capital city of Susa, and he served as the cupbearer to the Persian king, Artaxerxes. And he got news that the walls of Jerusalem and Judah were in ruins, and he had a heart for his brothers and sisters, his people from his homeland, who were vulnerable to attacks. And so we read in chapter 1 that he got this news. He was so heartbroken that he prayed for a few months. He fasted and prayed for 2 or 3 months, if you work it out, for Jerusalem and Judah and his people. We pick it up in chapter 2, verse 1. Early the following spring, in the month of Nisan, during the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was serving the king his wine. I had never before appeared sad in his presence. So the king asked me, "Why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled." Then I was terrified. Now let's pause there for a moment. It sounds a bit odd that he would be terrified that his boss has noticed he's sad. To explain the context of this, kings were very suspicious of their cupbearers who served them wine, because that person could easily poison them to kill the king. And so if the cupbearer didn't seem happy and his normal, happy, relaxed, confident self, kings were suspicious. And King Artaxerxes had a reputation of taking the head of people who were sad in his presence. So the king picks up, Nehemiah sad, what's wrong? Nehemiah was terrified. His head was on the chopping block. Verse 3, but I replied, long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire. The king asked, well, how can I help you? And I love this part. With a prayer to the God of heaven, I replied. And so Nehemiah is in mid-conversation. He's talking to the king who can chop off his head if he has a nervous twitch in his eye or says one wrong word. And in this moment of needing to reply to the king, he offers up a prayer to the God of heaven. And he said, if it please the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried. He carried on for a bit, explaining more of what he would like the king to do for him. And then verse 8 says, and the king granted these requests because the gracious hand of God was on me. I love how Nehemiah gives credit to God. He recognizes where his help comes from. It is the grace of God. But connecting the dots, I think God's gracious hand was on him because of Nehemiah's prayer life. Nehemiah prayed and he cared about the things that God cared about. And he was doing what he could to try and help the cause of God. And so God's hand was on him. But he brought the greatest desire of his heart to go and help his people in Jerusalem. At the same time, he risked losing his head to the king. And in this, perhaps the most crucial conversation of Nehemiah's life, what did he do? He prayed to God. Now, if you're talking to somebody, you're in conversation, your eyes are locked, how long do you think that prayer would have been? It would have been just a heartbeat prayer to God. Lord, help me. Give me words. Give me favor. Give me wisdom. And then answer. And so, to me, that says we can also pray these little prayers through the day when we really need God to be with us. These kind of prayers have become known as arrow prayers, because you can so quickly load, I don't know what you do with a bow and arrow, load your arrow and shoot it off in a second or two. Quick arrow prayers. And we can pray these kind of prayers. Some of the most significant prayers I've prayed have been arrow prayers. One that I've shared before was when our daughter was choking on a pip a couple of years ago. And Stacey and I had tried everything we could. We were at home, tried sticking the finger down the throat, tried patting her on the back, shaking her to dislodge this pip, and it wasn't coming out. She wasn't breathing. Her eyes started to glaze over. Her face was turning purple. There was no movement, and she was pretty soon dying. I knew we didn't have time to get her to hospital. All I could do was shoot up an arrow prayer and conjuring up the best theological terminology I could. I said, Jesus, please help my little girl. And a moment later, I don't know what happened to the pip, but she gasped for air. And by the grace of God, our daughter's life was spared, and she was 100% fine. A little arrow prayer that maybe made the difference between our daughter's life and death. A more recent one that comes to mind was a month or so ago, I went to fetch Gus. I fetch him for home group, and I went to fetch him, and I reversed the car into Seventh Heaven where he stays to fetch him, to help get him in the car. And there's quite a steep inclined driveway. So I backed up to sort of towards the gate, parked a couple meters up from the gate because it's so steep, and got out and went to press the intercom for them to open the gate. And whilst waiting for them to open the gate, my car starts rolling back. So as quick as a flash, I jump kind of behind the car, but I don't want to be totally behind it in case it squashed me against the gate. So partly behind the car, and I'm pushing to try and stop this car, and it's slowing down, and I managed to stop it literally 10 seconds from the gate. Now I'm holding this car, putting as much strength and effort into this thing as I can to hold this car, because it's still on a slope, and they still haven't opened the gate. And I'm thinking, when are they going to open the gate? And I thought, I can't hold this much longer. Either, you know, I'm going to lose my strength and the car's going to roll into the gate, or by the grace of God, it's going to stay there. And so in that moment, I prayed an arrow prayer, and I said, God, please help me. And I let go of the car and watched to see what was going to happen. And it stayed still on the slope. And I pushed the intercom and it opened and I got in and it was fine. And I can only think that God sent an angel, and an angel was getting a bit squashed between the car and the gates for me. But these little arrow prayers can really make a big difference in our lives. There's a saying in the military that there are no atheists in foxholes. So we all have moments where we're under fire, where we're in dire circumstances. And our response has got to be to call on the name of the God of heaven to help us in our time of need. And these aren't the best prayers to be praying. We can be praying into, you know, such better things, having such better time of communion with God. But we can also pray these little arrow prayers. I think this story from Nehemiah tells us that arrow prayers are a valid tool in our toolbox of prayer. And I think they can be the most powerful prayers because we tend to pray them when we're desperate and we call on God with all of our heart and all of the faith that we can muster up, and God hears these arrow prayers. Another biblical example is that of Peter. You remember the story when Jesus was walking on water, his disciples were in the boat and they saw him, and Jesus called Peter out to walk on the water towards him. And Peter started treading on water, and he was walking on water, and next thing his faith faltered and he started to sink down. He called out to Jesus. He shot up an arrow prayer. Does anyone remember the three words that Peter prayed? Well, the NIV says, Lord, save me. It's along the same lines. God, help me. Lord, save me. That was his prayer. And what did Jesus say? No, you should have prayed for 2 hours this morning. You should have thought about that before you got off the boat. No, your faith has faltered. That's why you're thinking I'm not going to answer, because your lack of faith. No. Jesus reached out and grabbed him and pulled him up and saved his life, or saved him at least from the waters. Jesus hears our little arrow prayers and he responds to them. And so I want you to think about your life. What situations you get into when you need these little arrow prayers like Peter and Nehemiah. Maybe for you it's some sort of business presentation, and just going into that presentation or going into a crucial meeting with a board of executives that you really need God's favor, and just going into that meeting or in the midst of that meeting, you can shoot up an arrow prayer and say, God, please help me. Maybe it's getting into conflict with somebody at work or even at home that you realize this is getting awkward, this is getting tense, this is turning nasty. Man, I need to commit this to God. I need God's help. I need God's favor. I need God's wisdom. I need his guidance. I need his peace. That you can shoot up an arrow prayer. Or maybe it's these unexpected moments where your very life is threatened in a car accident as your car starts to veer off the road, or if you're assaulted with some sort of criminal attack, in those moments, we can shoot up an arrow prayer to God. And it's nice to know that He hears them and that He answers them. And so this might seem like a little bit of an arbitrary, petty message to bring, but I think this is such a useful part of our prayer toolbox that we need to be practicing these arrow prayers. So what could your three-word prayer be? Peter prayed three words. Won't you think about something and share it with the person next to you or in front or behind you, a three-word prayer that you might need to pray in the week ahead. Share with someone next to you a three-word prayer. Okay, that's far too long for three words. It should have ended long ago. There's quite a range of three-word prayers that you can pray, but I think the gist of them is, Lord, please help. It just puts our focus on God and invites Him into our lives in that moment. And that's a powerful thing. But I think these arrow prayers on their own, if our prayer life was limited to these arrow prayers on their own, we'd really be losing out. And what I appreciate in Nehemiah's situation and his story is that he had a pretty powerful prayer life going on all the time. And so in chapter 1, when he heard the bad news, he fasted and prayed for 2 or 3 months leading up to this critical moment. You can be sure he had spent hours praying to God. And God was already at work leading up to this moment. And the hours, the long time that we spend in prayer is like the target practice. And so in the heat of the moment, in the storm, Nehemiah could shoot up the arrow prayer, knowing it would pierce the veil of heaven and reach the very throne room of God, that God would hear him, that God would answer, because he spent time praying to God every day. Our normal prayer life is target practice for the heat of the moment when we need to send up an arrow prayer. It's a disciplined prayer life that prepares us for the emergency prayers. And I don't want this to become some kind of superstitious thing, you know, when we need it, pull out the genie and rub it and make your wish, or put your coin in the slot machine and pull the one-armed bandit arm and hope the right thing comes out. It's not superstitious. It's not formulaic. It's about relationship with God. And so, Jesus says, remain in me and I will remain in you. That's what it's about. But we can remain in him relationally through prayer with hour-long prayers or little prayers through the day. And I would imagine that God would really love both. He'd love to have quality time with us, but he'd also love us to include him in the little moments through our day. And so in the week ahead, going forward, won't you include God when you go into that meeting, when you go into that crucial conversation, when you go into that exam at school, whatever it is, just shoot a little arrow prayer to God and ask him to be in it with you. Ask him to guide your thoughts, to give you the right attitude in your heart, to give you the right words that you'll speak, to have his hand over the other person. And if his gracious hand is on you, man, those three-word prayers could just be the most significant prayers in your life. As I was discussing this with Stacy through the week, she reminded me of something that happened a few years back in her old car. She broke down driving in town. The car broke down. She didn't call me. She called her father, who's far more mechanically minded than me and happens to have a 4x4 to tow the car. And you might think, well, you know, why does she call her father? Why did he help her? She's left the home. She's married to me. They're still in relationship. Stacy and our family still spends time with her parents. Because they're her parents. We're family. We spend time together. And because they've maintained a relationship, in that moment, when she needed her father, she could pick up the phone and say, "Dad, please help." And he put down everything and rushed down to help her because of a relationship. And that's what our prayer life is about with God. It's about a relationship. He wants to remain in you, in your life. He wants to be a part of your life. And he wants you to remain in him. And the way we do it is just these little prayers through the day. And so that's it. Very basic message. But I hope that you find it helpful. I hope that you will add this tool to your prayer toolbox if it isn't already. And that you'll include God in your life and send up these little arrow prayers to him. And see how God comes through for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you care about each of us so much. We know that you are almighty, that you are all powerful, that you are sovereign, that you've created the whole universe. And yet you care about each of us so much that you know how many hairs are on our heads. That you have a good plan and a purpose for each of our lives. And that you want us to include you in our lives. That you want to remain connected to us relationally. Thank you for that, Lord. Lord, forgive us if we have been slack in doing that. If we haven't been spending time with you in prayer, sharing our lives with you, praying for your purposes, listening to you. We just repent of that now. And commit to really spending more time with you. And even if it is just by praying on the go, little arrow prayers through the day, Lord, we want to commit to that today. And I pray that you would hear those prayers, that you would answer those prayers, that you would sense your gracious hand upon our lives. Lord, be with us as we go out from here. Guide our thoughts. Guide our words. Be in our conversations. At work, at home. Have your hand over us, we pray. And thinking of those who might be traveling with the school holidays, we pray for your traveling mercies. For your hand to be over your people as they're on the road. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, church. We've already had tea and coffee, so you're welcome to stay and chat. If anyone would like some prayer, please come up. I'd love to pray with you. Otherwise, enjoy the rest of the day.